W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Sherry Preston. This morning, Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley will announce that she is exiting the presidential race. Her decision following just one win on Super Tuesday in the state of Vermont. Barring any unforeseen issues, that means voters will be left with the same choice they had 4 years ago. Here's ABC national correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Nikki Haley said she wanted to offer voters a choice, that Americans didn't want to see a Trump-Biden rematch. She did well with self-described liberals and moderates who voted in GOP primaries where the rules said they could. She won the Republican contests in Vermont and Washington, D.C. She got more than 40% of the vote in New Hampshire and about a third of the vote in a few other states. One question now is, where will those voters go in November? Might they support Trump, Biden, someone else? Or just stay home.
Haley not expected to endorse Trump, but will instead encourage him to earn the votes of those who supported her. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Now that Super Tuesday is over, the presidential candidates are shifting focus to Wisconsin and the general election. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin today. Harris and Labor Secretary Julie Sue are in Madison talking about workers' rights, union jobs, and the economy. A new report finds people are almost as likely to find a good-paying job in rural areas as urban ones. Georgetown University's Martin Vanderwerf says it's a matter of training people for the right jobs.
There ought to be just closer ties between the labor force and educators so that we are actually educating people for the jobs that actually exist rather than jobs we wish would exist.
The Georgetown study finds rural Americans had a 50% chance at a good-paying job compared with 54% in urban areas. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The combined reward in the case of missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu is increased to $25,000. In a statement Tuesday, Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert said that the Manitowoc County Crime Stoppers has increased its reward from $1,000 to $10,000. The FBI is also offering a $15,000 reward. Anyone providing information that leads to finding Vu or the arrest and charging of the persons responsible for this disappearance is eligible for the reward. After a year in dispute, a federal judge dismisses a lawsuit that challenged the constitutionality of a Nina sign ordinance. U.S. District Judge William Griesbach says that now that the city has made changes to the signing laws, the case is moot. He also denied damage claims sought by the plaintiff, saying they suffered no violation of their First Amendment rights. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, if I could find my grandma's recipe for grappa, maybe we could do that.
A moonshine?
Grappa.
Oh, grappa's not moonshine?
We don't like that term.
The Italians don't like the Kentucky or what?
And that's what it said on the arrest papers.
That's right.
You're one of the few guys I know that the grandma did time.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Bucks headed to the West Coast. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks packing their bags for a long 4-game road trip. Milwaukee now doing a better job of passing the ball around to find the open shot. Bobby Portis.
Doc's been emphasizing that all since he's been here since January is you might have a good shot here, but that extra pass could just lead to a better open shot for the team. We've been making a lot of those reads. Actually, like you might not get an assist, but you might get a hockey assist out of it.
College basketball, a big night for Marquette as they host number 2-ranked UConn in Milwaukee on senior night. The Badgers play Rutgers Thursday. Iowa's Caitlin Clark named the best player in the Big Ten. Baseball, the Brewers and the Giants had 29 combined hits, but the Giants won 13-8 over Milwaukee. Rhys Hoskins got his first home run as a Brewer.
You're just hoping for the right match with the team that will show up eventually, and in my eyes, it did with the Brewers.
That's Brewers first baseman Rhys Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 47 this afternoon, with wind out of the northeast at only about 5 to 10 here through the day. Tonight, partly cloudy, 29. Tomorrow, a few more clouds with a high of 48 with some scattered rain possible Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From I-43 to I-41.
This is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we...
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number three of Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app. Temperatures rising a little bit. 32 now in Oshkosh, 30 in Appleton, 28 in Green Bay. We've had a fun show today. Sarah Rohde, head basketball coach at Notre Dame Academy, going for their fourth straight state championship with the girls' basketball tournament starting here in Green Bay tomorrow, which is a lot of fun at the Resch. Amanda Johnson, executive director of the Howe Research Center, talking about the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ben Chan, our Jeopardy megastar.
Wow.
Joined us, which was fantastic. And now, again, we talk about the new segments for our third hour, our Where Are They Now segment. And we're going to get a little bit of everything from all different walks of life.
Right.
Jim, and introduce your very special guest for our Where Are They Now segment.
The Where Are They Now are people that very recognizable. They've been in the community. They had a positive impact on the community, did some great things, and then went on to something else that's not as visible. Still working hard, still great people. This was a no-brainer when we sat down and discussed what we're going to do in the third hour. And the Where Are They Now? We have the former mayor of Appleton, Tim Hanna. Welcome, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here, man. You served the community of Appleton for 24 years?
As mayor, yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Were you on the council before that?
I was on the council for two terms before that.
Really? That's a lot of elections.
Well, you got to the point.
Never lost.
No, I can see that.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? I want to get back to being mayor, but I want to just talk. What are you doing?
He mentioned it when we walked in, when he saw me, he goes, I'm not a lobbyist.
Yeah, not a lobbyist.
Like another bad term. To a bad
he did say that right
away. I want to say something about lobbyists, okay? Because a lot of times they get a bad rap. Lobbyists play a really important role. Right. And the important role is education. You get elected as a representative and you go to the legislature. Just because you win an election doesn't mean you know everything.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of them think they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I work with one.
Exactly. So lobbyists play that important role of educating legislators about very complicated things. And that's the important role. Now, you know, the other side of it is the money.
Yeah.
Right? And don't get me started on money and politics because it just pisses me off.
What do you think about money and politics?
Yeah.
Anyway. But you pay a lobbyist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. They get paid, right, to do that.
To tell your message.
To tell the message. But it is education, right? I mean, if you're elected, say you're elected from Green to represent an urban area around the state, right? And you've got a bill on agriculture. Well, okay, help me out here.
Yeah, right? I see what you're
you know, teach me, right? But you have to, as a legislature, you have to know that the information you're getting from a lobbyist is going to be
slanted
skewed,
a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, well, you know, your job is to go out and find the rest of the
lobbyist. Okay, I don't want to let him off the hook, and we're going to move on, but I just want to say, you're saying a lobbyist is there to educate the legislator with the intent of getting some funding for the what you're lobbying for. I mean, nobody's going to go there and
do funding or getting some policy changes.
Policy changes can be. Yeah, that's what I meant. But a lobbyist, their job is to move the needle in a bureaucracy that is very, very slow to move.
Right.
So
when
anyway,
you left office, you said, I'm going to let Jim do most of this interview because you guys are simpatico here. But when you left office, did you take a lot of sweater vests with the Apton logo on it? Did you like clean out every office that there was?
I had a lot of stuff. Right. No doubt. But yeah, I have a few Appleton
and
things.
I set up in the hallway just tables and tables of. I had over 100 caps, and I don't wear caps. And I just gave it away. Come in. Yeah. You know, I had a cake, and just come in and take an item. And because my wife would not let me bring all that stuff. There was so – I don't know what you did with 24 years. I was only 16.
You
still got it?
Remember, I moved out during COVID.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We didn't even have a – we were going to have a big celebration and everything. That all got canceled. Yeah. You know, it's just a, okay, see ya.
Wow. And I felt bad for your successor.
Although my wife and some friends did a really cool thing on one of my last days. They organized a drive-by
wave.
That's cool. All down College Avenue.
Oh, that's cool.
And that was really cool.
That's
cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then when the mayor came in, he couldn't have a big, you know, first elections are the biggest parties. I mean, man, friends of mine from college come up, they're like, we just can't believe it.
Right.
That's But anyway.
Well, I remember when my brother, the first year my brother ran for sheriff, and you know, the other sheriff died or whatever. So, I mean, there were like four people running, and it was going to be a real nip and tuck type thing and everything. And it was so exciting that first night.
Oh, man, it's fun to win.
You know, you know what I did, though, to celebrate? So he lived on Main Street, okay? And he had the bumper stickers that were just MINO for sheriff. So I cut out one of the O's, and on both sides of the sign up, there was MINO Street instead of Main Street for a week before anybody noticed. That was my way of celebrating.
So a lot of people don't remember my first election in 1996, which the election was in March that year because they changed it to line up with the spring primary. Mm-hmm. And I was sworn in November.
Wow.
Oh.
You won in March. You didn't go in until November?
Yeah, because on election night, I lost by 8.
Recount?
We had a recount. And during
what's in the drawer.
Yep. During the recount, there were like 150 ballots that were lost. Wow. So they recounted the ballots we had, and I won. But they didn't have... didn't know where these ballots were, and the next day they found them. They had been mixed up with all the unused ballots and sent back to the printer and cut in half and mixed in with all the stuff that was going to be recycled.
Wow, that's incredible.
So they did the dumpster dive, and they pulled out as many half ballots as they could find. They sealed them up, brought them back, put it in front of the Board of Canvassers, and said, what do you want to do? And the Board of Canvassers said, we can't count them. They've been out of the control of the city. We don't know if we have them all. We don't know if they've been tampered with. So Hannah wins.
We don't know where Tim Hannah was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, there was a court challenge.
Sure.
Went to circuit court. We made our arguments. The circuit court judge said, well, what the Board of Canvassers should have done is they should have taken the recount in all the districts where they had all the ballots, and in the district where they didn't have all the ballots, they should have taken the election night results, which meant I lost by 2.
Wow.
But the problem with that is during the recount in that district, there were 15 ballots that had been set aside because they had been mismarked. And then they were counted by hand. And out of those 15 ballots, 14 of them were for me. So his decision essentially threw out ballots that we had in place of ballots that we didn't have.
Wow.
And then I had to decide, okay, do I want to put the city through an appeal? So what I did was I had a friend come over, an attorney, and we sat down because we had taken meticulous notes. And I said, based on what we know, can we figure out who won? And through some deductive reasoning, we came to the conclusion that based on the facts that we had, there were only two possible outcomes. It was either a tie or I won by two.
Unbelievable.
And so
can
that,
you imagine
because
if that would be happening today?
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying, Tim? I mean,
exactly.
I'm going to ask you later about how things have changed in politics. But this is, okay, go ahead.
So for me, it's like if we had done that analysis and I lost, but I didn't. So I appealed. And because Appleton is in three counties and each county is in a different appellate district, we had to file three suits. They got consolidated. They went down to Waukesha. He got sworn in. I went back to work and we waited. We filed our briefs and we waited and waited. And here's the funny thing. We got the call on election day in November, presidential election day. We got the call that said the court is going to release their decision tomorrow. Went to my attorney's office the day after, walked in, and he looked at me and he said, congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
No kidding.
And so the headline, the Post-Crescent was an afternoon paper. In the middle of the page, a big headline, Clinton wins re-election, right? Top of the page, it says, court declares Hannah Appleton's new mayor.
you upsurged the president.
Presidential election. So, and then I got sworn in. The next Tuesday, my first council meeting was the budget.
Nice.
Right off the bat.
How'd your opponent take that?
Well, he had to decide would he appeal to the Supreme Court.
Right.
So what the court said was the circuit court judge erred. He did not have the authority to supplant his opinion for the opinion of the Board of Canvassers. His job was to determine did they follow the law. And they did. They followed the law. And I think it was a strong decision, and I think he had had enough. There was a lot going on at City Hall that wasn't good. Anyway, so that's how I became mayor. It wasn't exactly a party.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't, like, greeted with open arms at City Hall.
That's incredible.
I'm just not sure that would happen today.
Oh, my gosh. I agree.
Remember when Brett Weicker, who owns Tittletown Brewery, to John Reba and— That was contested.
No, that's Green Bay. I have no clue.
I'm just kidding. But it was like, that was for the assembly, 2 to 3 votes. And he just said, like, I'm done.
Yeah.
This is too much.
I don't blame you.
And who paid for all that?
I did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
Great way to start, huh?
I had to raise extra money. I mean, my campaign still owes me money, by the way. Whatever.
Anyway, I want to talk about that was what got you in the door. I want to talk about 24 years of serving the community, and I want to eventually get to what you're doing now. But you can stick around, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah. Cool.
And having lived in Appleton for a couple of years, I still love the Red Ox.
Oh, my gosh. That's been here for a long
time.
Forever. Yeah.
Those are people I want to get on this show. You talk about a place that's just, they just do what they do, and they do it right, and it's been there for 50 years or however many years, 60 years, 70
supper
years.
Supper Club.
Yeah, Supper Club.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. I used to be able to walk to
it's Appleton. You wouldn't know that.
Wait,
did I set a policy?
We got to set a quick break. This is our Where Are They Now segment. Tim Hanna, 24 years as mayor of Appleton. We're going to let these two mayors take the stage when we come back right after this.
I say we should let them duel it out, to be honest.
I do,
right?
Yeah. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Green Bay that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 920-469-1146 to apply. That's 920-469-1146.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You got a commercial?
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor's.
See, what you do with that, Jim, is when we're about to go on the air, look at me, because I always give him a thumbs up when I turn the mics on.
In my defense, John, help me out. It's hard to see Todd.
I told him that.
Okay.
I said it's like the thing from The Wizard of Oz, where his body, you don't see his body.
And he's wearing black.
And yeah, you just see the face now because of the TV screen behind us. Hey, this segment brought to you by Midwest Restoration, 24/7 emergency services for its clients, provides a full range of services for both residential and commercial properties, including fire damage, water damage, mold damage, wind and hail damage, biohazard cleanup, all those sorts of things. They are an amazing company, folks. 920 Midwest, MWRestoration.com. This is our Where Are They Now segment with Tim Hanna, 24 years as the mayor of Green Bay.
And
so, what is it, 24 and 16?
Yeah.
Well, 40 years of mayorship here.
Right. And where is he now? He's in our studio.
Absolutely.
And
we're,
and we are glad you're here. We talked about when in 96 when you got elected, and it was not an easy process to get elected, but you got elected. Tell us about some highlights. I mean, 24 years is a long time to pick out a highlight, but or three or four. But what?
Well,
you were a great mayor, by
thank
the way.
You. I appreciate that. So when people ask me, what are you most proud of? This is my answer. What I'm most proud of in my term as mayor is probably not what you think. It's not what you see. It's what you don't see. My unspoken goal when I became mayor is I want to change the culture to one that the next mayor won't want to change.
Oh.
And when I mean the culture, two things. One, the culture of what it's like to work for the city, and then the culture outside of City Hall. And I can honestly say I accomplished that. And that's what I'm really most proud of is the people that work for the city today. They're proud to work for the city. They know why they come to work. They know what we're trying to accomplish. They are bought in, and it's a great place to work. I mean, now I asked permission from the mayor if I could come back to City Hall. I wanted to give him his space, but he's fine with it. I love visiting City Hall because everyone's smiling. They're happy to see me. They're engaged in what they're doing, and that's healthy.
What do you mean you went back to City Hall?
To
visit.
To visit.
I go
to pay my water bill.
Right,
and,
right.
Right. And then I'll walk around and say hi to people.
Absolutely.
It's really awesome. So culture is so important to me.
And we talked when you first got here, before you came on, the culture of the communities are a little bit different.
Yeah.
But
that's okay.
Right. And both good, but the culture is a little bit different.
Correct. That's what I'm most proud of. Now, the other things, right, that culture led to a greater sense of collaboration. We're in this together. So working with other governments, other local governments, counties, working with nonprofits, working with businesses to create that really collaborative culture.
Yeah.
So one of the results of that, things like the Performing Arts Center, Fox City's Performing Arts Center.
Fantastic place.
Just a great story, but it's a great story of how that came together. Now, just think about this, right? I'm in my second term, and it's time to redo College Avenue. Everything, the infrastructure from building to building, everything. And at the same time, we're building this $50 million Performing Arts Center. And I looked at those two projects, and I thought, oh, my God. Think of the potential of things that could go wrong, right?
Right.
So what we did was we brought all the stakeholders together, and we sat down for a couple days, and I said, I want every single issue, real or potential, that could happen. Yeah. And we had a list that was like 20-some pages long.
Yeah.
We categorized it, and then we assigned responsibility. Whose responsibility is it? And then every week during the project, that whole team would get together and we would check off those things.
Broke it down to bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if something came up that wasn't on the list, people knew who to talk to right away because we had those relationships are what was important.
That's awesome.
Those relationships. And the project, it was done, this very complicated, these two big projects. It got done and we looked at each other and go, we're kind of sad it's over because we had fun doing it. Like, all right, that's cool. So, the PAC.
Different culture.
The Performing Arts Center.
Chuck's going to be like, where the hell could you do that? All I'm saying is he points to this philosophical kumbaya. I'm just like zipping, bipping. And it was a fight. It was a battle. There was blood on the floor. But we got it done, you know?
Who are you to tell me we don't need this?
Exactly. That John was part of
it. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, sorry. That's right.
Oh, that was the other segment.
Pretty much. Hey, the other thing that with that culture, and again, I don't want to get into too much on that, but what was your influence in the airport? You guys have a great, great airport. From customer service to those people that get paid, 10, 12 bucks an hour just to say, how are you doing today? Your food is good, and you got more flights.
So, to be honest with you, nothing. I mean, other than trying to convince the county board that the name Outagamie County Airport probably wasn't suitable in today's age and today's market with that airport. And they finally got it done, and they renamed it Appleton Airport because that's how it's identified. It's not in Appleton. It's actually in Greenville.
Right.
But it's a great airport.
Well, it's phenomenal. Really, it's awesome. You guys
but you have to give the direct county flights a lot of credit for what they've done with that airport. And the county board getting over that hump of being real parochial and going, well, it's not Appleton. It's another game. No, it's a regional airport.
Or the getting over the fact that, wait a minute, we can do this.
Absolutely.
You know, the confidence that we can have one of the better PACs. We can have a great College Avenue. We can have a great airport. And I think that, and I've seen that. I mean, I didn't live here when back in the 80s, but I don't think Appleton is what it is today, what it was back then, or just vice versa, right? I mean, you've grown a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you another thing, though. I know it's not really Appleton, but I don't even know. Is it Neuroscience Park now or something? Mm-hmm. I still call it Fox City Stadium. Yeah. I'm going back to the Goodland Field days. But
right.
What a beautiful facility that is. That's one of the finest facilities in all of baseball, in all of minor league baseball, in the nation. It might be the nicest facility.
So here's the thing. Those projects, like the PAC, the Fox City Stadium, the Exhibition Center in downtown Appleton, where I got 14 municipalities to share room tax to build a facility in downtown Appleton. And that was a long process, but it was built on the relationships that I had with these other communities, right? And to listen to them and listen to their objections and to answer the question, well, why should we support this in downtown Appleton, right? And a lot of times they answered their own question. But just showing that respect and then getting it done. And then the Champion Center out in Grand Chute, that really beautiful indoor sports facility. Those are all regionally supported. And it's a manifestation of, at the end of the day, this is good for all of us. And then all the communities come together and support those things.
We got 1 minute. Is he staying over?
Yeah, can you stick over, Tim?
Sure.
Okay,
we had you until
8:30. Really interesting. Yeah, so we're going to
let's get to where
another segment.
He's
a former mayor. Where else does he have to go?
I'm just thinking, if we need another show with a mayor, this is the guy.
Absolutely.
Right?
This is
great job.
Let's get to where are they now. Yeah. Let's see what Tim's doing now.
We'll do that when we come back. We're going to set a quick break here. Tim Hanna, 24 years as the mayor of Appleton, joining us this morning. We'll be back. Might on the Mayor right after this.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for News Talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More veterans might someday qualify for free tuition at Wisconsin State universities. Vets have to live in Wisconsin for 5 years to qualify for tuition reimbursement. A bill getting a hearing today would cut that time to 3 years. Veterans and their families can qualify for up to 8 free semesters at state universities or technical colleges. Nursing teachers are warning about a for-profit college trying to open campuses in Milwaukee and Madison. Barbara Nichols is with the Wisconsin Center for Nursing. She says the Arizona College of Nursing may be trying to take advantage of a shortage of nursing instructors in Wisconsin.
You can make more money working as a nurse practitioner with your master's or doctorate than teaching.
Former students in other states are suing the school, accusing it of predatory practices. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A Fond du Lac psychiatrist has been sentenced to 48 months in prison and 3 years supervised release after pleading guilty to conspiracy to distribute controlled substances and lying to federal agents. 77-year-old John Whelan was convicted in federal court of selling prescriptions for controlled substances for cash. Prosecutors claim Whelan made more than $250,000 selling the illicit prescriptions. They also say he abused his position as a physician. The Green Bay School District has canceled all strategic planning meetings for the foreseeable future. In an email sent Tuesday, the district thanks everyone who agreed to serve on the strategic planning team, which was to work on issues such as declining enrollment and budget deficits. The district says it plans to re-engage the community members at a future date. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Bucks headed to the West Coast. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks packing their bags for a long four-game road trip. Milwaukee now doing a better job of passing the ball around to find the open shot. Bobby Portis.
Doc's been emphasizing that all since he's been here, since January, is you might have a good shot here, but that extra pass could just lead to a better open shot for the team. We've been making a lot of those reads, actually. Like, you might not get an assist, but you might get a hockey assist out of it.
College basketball, a big night for Marquette as they host number 2-ranked UConn in Milwaukee on senior night. The Badgers play Rutgers Thursday. Iowa's Caitlin Clark named the best player in the Big Ten. Baseball, the Brewers and the Giants had 29 combined hits, but the Giants won 13-8 over Milwaukee. Reese Hoskins got his first home run as a Brewer.
You're just hoping for the right match with the team that will show up eventually, and in my eyes, it did with the Brewers.
That's Brewers first baseman Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 47 this afternoon, with wind out of the northeast at only about 5 to 10 here through the day. Tonight, partly cloudy, 29. Tomorrow, a few more clouds with a high of 48 with some scattered rain possible Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
We worked together for years. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. As I mentioned, the dueling mayors here today for our Where Are They Now segment. Tim Hanna, former Appleton mayor. And you know, we were talking when I get emails and texts and everything from people, and so does Jim, so does Todd. If you have somebody you'd like to hear, you know, they haven't heard from in a while, please let us know. Todd, how can they get a hold of you?
They can actually go to our app, so download the Civic Media app. Choose your station, WISS or WGBW. Lower right-hand corner is the text button. Just hit that and say, hey, we'd love to hear from fill in the blank. Yeah.
And actually, one of the very first people we had just walked by, Kathy Larkin, just walked by and just made faces at us. So there you go. I don't know where the other mayor went there, Mr. Mayor. But
that's right.
But another thing that I got to give you so much credit for, and like my brother was mayor of my little town in Nagani and everything. And I give all you guys credit for having the courage to do that. But how much have things changed just media-wise, social media-wise, all those things from 1996 until now, who's just getting into politics?
A lot. I mean, campaigning is different, yeah. Right? Although you still can't be going out, knocking on doors and talking to people face-to-face. But the social media aspect, how people get their information, the limited information that they use to make a decision,
yeah.
You know, how do you educate people? And to me, the sad part is the divisiveness that we see on the federal level and now sometimes on the state level is starting to show up at the local level. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, that's sad because we're nonpartisan. We're supposed to be. And it's about doing what's best for the community.
Yeah.
And
the problem is with Mayor, that doesn't work anymore. There's just so much outside. There's and the expense. Do you read those numbers? I mean, that's crazy. Money. I always thought a dollar per person. So you run for mayor, $100,000. Appleton, $78,000 or $72,000. But even the governor's race here. We got 5 million people in the state. What, five and a half, and yeah. They spent $12 million at that last race.
I never even spent half of that on any of my races. And
well, I had the money, so I spent it. Yeah. But you know, not that personally.
I boil it down this way, right? There is no Republican or Democrat way to plow streets, pick up garbage. I mean, do right. All of those things that local government does. And what we do in local government is, we do all the things that people take for granted until we don't do them.
Yeah.
But right? I just want to get back on that. I want to talk about what you're doing now. But
yeah.
The people who are getting out because government isn't like that.
All right.
That's why they're getting, you heard that lady down.
And to me, that's on the leaders. If you're the mayor, then you should insist that that's the way it be done.
Right.
And you can't let them pull you down.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, I had, like 1996, right? I became mayor, and most of the council was leery. My staff was leery, right? And a lot of them on the council were not happy. And so they would try to trip me up, and they would criticize me in public and then apologize in private.
Oh, man.
But I would never let them get me riled up in public because I wanted to set the bar in terms of expectations, right? So,
all right, let's talk. This is the
one of the things I'm doing now.
Okay, the segment is what are they doing now? Tell us what you're doing now.
Just on that note, as a good segue, one of the things I'm doing now is there's a program run through UW-Madison local government program called the Certified Public Manager Program. So it's where managers in the public sector can go and have a series of courses and get a certification, right? And they asked me to teach ethics. So I teach that ethics class. I don't teach the law part. I teach the applied ethics. And it's fun. It's fun to do that. But
the courses, so students who take your course, that's a certificate,
mm-hmm.
and that's a year or summer?
It's a good year, yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. And that's for anyone in the state, or is that
for,
a regional thing?
It's for public managers. So, you know, department heads, supervisors, there's mayors of small cities, managers. That's who would go.
And I, teach a TC in business class, but, you know, one of the chapters in school really wants you to drill down on that. They're like, look, why don't you spend 2 weeks on ethics? Like, really? But our stuff is all Bernie Madoff and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
what bothered me about the curriculum, and I did talk to the dean about this, a lot of the businesses were Starbucks and Apple, and we have those businesses right here. We can study Schreiber across the street. We can study Schneider. We can study, right. You know, and that's what right. We've kind of moved to more of that. But I hope that when in this teaching that it is local, right? I mean,
right. Right. And so kind of go over, you know, I teach for 6 hours. I go over some definitions. And then a good part of the second half is I give them scenarios to talk about in small groups, right? Give a really tough scenario. Okay. What would you do? Right. And then apply some of the ethics that we had talked about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You've lost weight. What else are you doing?
By the way, I just want to say, I got a nice text. I just want to thank both mayors for their respective service to their communities.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Thanks. Well,
thank you.
So this is in my blood. There's no way I could just retire. I love local government, love what we do. You know, I was very involved with the local government organizations. And so today I am the executive director of what's called the Local Government Institute of Wisconsin. Local government in Wisconsin there's three local government organizations. There's the Counties Association for all the counties. There's the Towns Association for all the unincorporated towns. And then there's the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, which is all cities and villages. And there used to be a fourth called the Alliance of Cities, which was just the larger cities. Now it's a subset of the League. It's called the Urban Alliance. Those three organizations came together and formed the Local Government Institute back in 2008. I was on the board of directors from the beginning. And when our executive director announced that he was going to step away, that was right when I was struggling with, do I want to do this for another 4 years? And if I had to be honest with myself, it was like I was tired.
Yeah.
And I approached the executive directors of those three organizations and said, hey, what do you think? And they were like, absolutely. So I stepped into that role as executive director. It's a contract, so I work out of my home. We have board meetings every other month. And what we do is we promote greater collaboration amongst all of local government through education and research. So the Local Government Institute is not a lobbying company, but we will supply information so that the three organizations can do their own lobbying, because that's what they do.
So this isn't something that a layperson can take. You have to be an elected, or you have to be part of a municipality to be part of this institute?
You're technically part of it when you're part of one of those three organizations.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So we have a board of directors with representatives of the three organizations, and then we have four citizen members who have an interest in local government.
So tell me, what is one of the objectives? Like, what does someone learn? They take this class for a year. What would they?
So it's not a class. This is what we do is research and education. So I'll give you an example of one of the things that we did. I'll give you two. One was, and I think you were still mayor several years ago, when local governments had really been struggling with transportation aid from the state. It had been declining. And the reality is most of the lane miles in this state are owned locally. But the support for local transportation was declining. So the Local Government Institute did a report called Filling the Potholes and put together all these facts about local road funding and then rolled it out in all 72 counties, invited local officials and local legislators in all of these venues on the same night and presented this information. And consequently, what happened was in the next budget, road aids increased, and they have increased in every budget since then. So that was one of the things we did. More recently, we worked behind the scenes on the shared revenue issue I was sharing with Jim earlier. This was an issue where shared revenue had declined in real dollars over the last 20 years. And it's something that is really important to local government. And the Local Government Institute important to all three organizations. We had talked about it, and when I became executive director, I said, we need to tackle this, but we need to do it in a different way. We need to take a bottom-up approach,
yeah.
Meaning we as local government should talk about this issue and come up with a list of potential solutions that we can then leverage the membership of the three organizations to talk to their local legislators and educate them, and let's get something done. And so we had a task force that worked for a year behind the scenes. We had some solutions, one of which ultimately got adopted.
That's great.
Politics was really big in that issue, oh, right? Yeah.
Well, and 20 years.
So here's the thing, right? The solution, the Democrats and the Republicans both wanted to own the solution. Which is like, okay.
Let them.
And, right? Yeah. So LGI, we didn't lobby. The three organizations lobbied. They did a good job of navigating, and right. They did a really good job of the three of them staying on the same page. Well, and
we appreciate you doing that, because everybody benefited from the work you're doing with that LGI.
Right. It wasn't
anything,
perfect.
No, but nothing yeah. is. What's next?
I also do some consulting. I've done a number of webinars for different organizations.
That's not what I was getting at. I'm getting at there's an opening for Congress, right? I want to know, is there any...
It's the question. Everybody's yes, waiting everybody. For yes.
I just want to know, do you have any desire to get back into politics? There's always openings, right, in government.
No, not really. I mean, I enjoyed it. I loved working with the people. But, I mean, quite frankly, I loved it. After 24 years, people would look at me and they would go, I don't even know what party you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you give a talk, like, and they're, you know, like, what? Right, that's what I want. It's not
that's
that way.
That's good.
Yeah, that's great.
That's
I'm not
really
sure
good.
That that's there anymore. And like and, you said, some of the funding and some
then,
of the
And
things,
the other thing but, I would say is, quite frankly, I'm kind of pissed off at both of them.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Like, come on, people.
I'm not, yeah. not joining either one of you.
So what do you do, run yeah. as an independent? Well, that'll be successful,
right? Well, I think that's great that you gave so much to the community of Appleton and you didn't move away. That happens once in a while.
Oh, my gosh. My roots are so deep, and which is one of the, it's the fear factor that drove me is like, okay, I mean, I was born here, raised here, went to school here, and it's like, I can't screw up because I have nowhere else to go.
Right. I got no place else to go. Yeah. Was that Officer and a Gentleman? Was that? Do I have a movie? I have no place else to go. Was that a line from Officer and a Gentleman, John? Todd?
I don't know.
I have no place else to go.
Right.
I don't know that one. From Officer and a Gentleman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I was thinking of A Few Good Men from what we're talking about.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Very good. That's right.
Finally. Wait a minute. John, wait a minute. Let me do this for you. Hold
Tim,
on.
Yeah.
Just give me.
I never.
Yes,
there.
Give him the bell. I never. It's when he's hosing him down. Remember, he's making
yes.
a new exercise.
He's with the weights.
Yes.
Or with the gun.
Yes.
With the guy's carrying
yes,
gun.
You're right. Very good, Jim.
See, I never get. He knows.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just riding along here,
yeah.
but I'm having fun. So
yeah,
that's
well, Tim Hanna, this has been great. This is exactly what we're looking for. Former mayor of Appleton for 24 years. And I love it that two guys who are on the exact same wavelength can sit here and talk about. The good old days?
But the difference in their styles, right?
Yeah,
the difference in the styles.
Yeah. I like the part where he said about how somebody criticized him to the media or something, but then would apologize. They got along great
yeah.
off camera.
Yeah.
Not this guy.
No.
No.
Cameras or no cameras.
Cameras or no cameras. He was ready to rock.
We're going
to
deal with this right now.
Yep.
So you're right. You were more patient than I was. And I but both our communities worked.
It's all right. Yep.
But you know, it is funny. You mentioned a comment too here. One last quick thing. And he said about how some members on the council or the board or whatever, you know, would want to trip you up. That's got to be a little bit of a discouraging feeling. It's like, aren't we in this all together to make things good? Why do you want to trip me up? Why don't you want to just work to make this
well,
work?
Well, so one of the things I did was I worked really hard on, we started strategic planning in 1997 when a lot of local governments weren't doing it.
Yeah.
And we constantly focused on our mission and our vision. And we adopted a code of conduct. And so when things would get heated, what I really loved was when council members reminded other council members about our mission and about our code of
you
conduct.
You should have sent that
that's
over
awesome.
To me.
Oh, it was awesome.
Put it on the wall.
That was good.
Tim Hanna, thank you so very
you
much
bet.
For being here. Really appreciate it.
Former Thanks for
mayor
inviting me.
Of Appleton. We'll be back right after this.
You made your choice. Though your whole
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance, because giving you options is the right thing to do.
Oh, you mean like when I let someone with less groceries go ahead in line? Sure, there's a part of me that thinks, if you only need three things, maybe go to a convenience store next time. And now they're sifting through coupons and my frozen foods are about to be not frozen.
But still, it's the right thing to do. So compare rates with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Great song. A little Billy Joel action coming your way from 1995? Four?
I'll check.
Right around that era? Hey, do you still have is it the Walter Cronkite or the Paul Harvey thing about Vince Lombardi?
So it's Paul. Earlier this morning, we were talking about the fact that today in history, 1981, was Walter Cronkite's last broadcast on the CBS Evening News.
Yes.
And we were talking about reporters and anchors that we admired, and we brought up Paul Harvey, right? He had that daily commentary on ABC for a long time. And somebody sent this in earlier today. I'll figure out who. Terry did from Ashwaubenon. This was Vince Lombardi's obituary on the Paul Harvey Show. And it is, let's see here, about 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
But I think it's worth it.
Awesome.
Let me switch this over. Check this out.
It is a gray day in Green Bay, Wisconsin. A city which shouted itself hoarse for the teams of Vince Lombardi today speaks his name in whispered prayers. The sun always shone on Packer Sundays. They called it Lombardi weather. They said the town ran on Lombardi time, 15 minutes ahead of everywhere else. And elsewhere, in an era in which many sought to deify the common man, some of us continued to thrill to the accomplishments of the uncommon ones, Rockne, Leahy, Bud Wilkinson, Bear Bryant, and the incomparable Vince Lombardi. Lombardi had been a law student, you know, and then a teacher of chemistry and Latin. You realize he didn't become a head coach until he was 46, and he died at 57. But in that one decade, he took a team which had won only one game in 1959, made him the best in the league each of 5 years, and the best in the world the latter two. The Packers have won no titles since Lombardi. While in Washington, he was leading the befuddled Redskins to their first winning season in 14 years. Let's not profane his grave with imagined qualities. It's quite enough that we enshrine his real ones. Vince Lombardi was no gentle giant. He was a civilian George Patton. There is no way to shoulder your way through the crowd and not give and get some bruises. He'd tell a limping lineman that Packers don't have injuries. And to prove it, send one jogging up and down the grandstand steps of Lambeau Field despite a ripped cartilage that in a few days would require surgery. But the men who played for him, who alternately loved and hated him, would have walked through fire for him. Here was such a leader that he could take grown men, whip them into a fury that forced tears of rage into their eyes. But when, despite their best, they'd had to eat a defeat, he could be most sensitive and almost gentle. But if they'd stumble through to a shoddy victory, if they'd win a game and look bad, Lombardi would chew those men out as if they'd been beaten. The objective was respect for their individual abilities and pride in their team's performance. And in an era of something for nothing, prop up the underdog, pull to punches, wars, for indefinite objectives, Vince Lombardi and his uncompromising determination to be the best could not alone inspire us all, but he made the citizens of one city stand real tall with the kind of unanimous local pride that we used to feel nationally. You'd hear home folks say, I live in Green Bay.
That's awesome.
Wow.
He only got one thing kind of wrong.
What? What was that?
Well, he said they only won one game in 1959. They won one game in 1958. 59, I want to say they were 7-5, then 61, they played the Philadelphia Eagles. And got lost in the championship game.
Get
and
Paul Harvey on the line.
He's in that location you were talking about.
Yeah, no, I think he only lost one game in 58, not 59.
Oh.
Yes.
But that was...
But it's great. I mean, it's wonderful.
He encompassed a lot.
The whole thing is phenomenal.
Right.
Because he didn't hide the fact that this guy, right?
No, he said it like it was. Well, I mean, nowadays you'd be arrested for making a guy run up and down the stairs with torn cartilage.
And then he had surgery 2 days later.
You'd literally lose your job without even a question mark.
Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely. Todd, can we do one more thing?
Yeah, what do you need?
Can we play the U.S. doesn't have maps again?
Yeah, let me find that.
We got to have that. That just makes my day.
We're talking about great broadcasters. This was South Carolina?
Miss South Carolina. Miss Teen South Carolina.
And she was a finalist for the Miss America pageant.
Yeah. This is years ago, but we're just talking about this Walter Cronkite's last thing. We're talking about the great radio people and whatever.
Kind of what you remembered for a little bit. And John remembers her for this question.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Miss Teen USA 2007. Oh, hang on. I've got two.
Here we go.
Hold on. Hang on.
Here we go.
Stand by. You're going to have to give me a second.
And then sometime we've got to hear the Linda thing again. Remember Linda? Linda, listen to me. Linda, you never listen to me. Linda, listen. I love that kid. Love him. What's he doing now, do you know?
No.
Where is he now?
Right.
All right.
Hey, who's next for our Where Are They Now?
Hang on a second. Here comes
your audio. We're working on something.
Okay,
stand by.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
Such as?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
U.S. Americans.
Because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and Iraq, everywhere, like such as, I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa
and the Iraq.
And should help the Iraq and the Asian countries.
Let her alone.
So we will
come
be able
on.
To build up our
I'm
future.
Sorry. Right. It's just a guilty pleasure.
Mario Lopez was the host.
Yes, yeah. Mario Lopez. Yes.
He's just sitting there not trying to not laugh, but you can see on his face.
Like, what is going on here? Yeah.
That's
classic.
I wonder if she's outlived that. I mean,
I don't know. You never. That's one.
Where are they now?
Yeah, where are they now? We got to try to find out where she is now. No, Todd and I were talking during the thing there when you were talking with the mayor. We're working on a pretty good one for Where Are They Now for next week.
Great.
But again, please give us some suggestions, folks. You guys all know my email or my text or whatever. And
we're chasing down Bob Harlan. You know, there's some people that we know you want to know because you've already sent that to us. But we want to get some people on here because. So many good people work so hard, and then, you know, they either got off the grid or they, like Tim said, right? He was tired.
Yeah. Hey, was that Kathy Larkin that walked by?
It was, and I ran out to her.
What's she doing?
She was on her way to a dentist appointment but wanted to pick up coffee, and then I said, when are you joining us again? And she just messaged me. She said, anytime, baby, anytime.
Nice. Oh, she was fun. She was one of the very first people we ever had on here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good energy. One of the very first, like the first week. No, she'd be great. Worked with Kathy for years and years and years, and, no, that'll be awesome. So, once again, big things happening in Green Bay this week. Tomorrow, of course, the WIAA Girls Basketball State Tournament gets started at the Resch Center. Got some great teams there. Green Bay Notre Dame, as we've mentioned, going for four in a row. We got Nina, which is one of the top players in the entire nation. You got Lena, which is there, which is great. And you got Appleton Xavier, which is there, which is representing. So, very good representations from Northeast Wisconsin. Then at the Crest tomorrow night, it's a great night. We're going to be out there for the UWGB women playing round one of their tournament action, and then the men in the doubleheader playing in their tournament game.
So the women are at 5, the men are at 8.
Yes. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Enjoy this weather too, right?
Yes, beautiful day out. Look at that sunshine.
I know.
28 in Green Bay, 30 in Appleton, 32 in Oshkosh. Todd, thanks for another great job. Thanks, everybody, being here, including Dr. Chan. How much fun was it having that man here?
Something else.
Good day. We got to send it to a break. We're going to say goodbye. We'll see
tomorrow.
You tomorrow. See ya.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.